Blog Talk Radio.
Shout!
Boom.
We are in these prison walls, doing my patience, doing my time. I am spending my restless night, visioning faces. Oh, they all cry. Prison on a bed of roses, the liberty it makes me bar. I wish that y'all could come and take us back in time. I swear I can be a better man. Yes, I swear. Faith in me, sunset, to see reflection. Da 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 da. We are in these metal bars. To judge, I'm chanting. Pray for your love divine. I'm oh so sorry, man. Deeply I'm hurting. The price ordained to be mine. Impossible to see the changes that I've made in my life. All they see is just the boy they left behind. And I swear that I can be a better man. Yes, I swear, yeah. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't you be wrong, cause now I'm stronger than I was before. I was young and wise. Didn't you hear my cry? Possible to see the that I've made in my life. All they see is just the boy I left behind. Cause I swear I can be a better man. I swear only you could understand. I swear, yeah, I can be a better man.
Without Christ, there's no blood. Without the blood, there's no life.
Yeah, yeah.
Living in Christ, alive.
Yeah.
One blood, one blood, one blood. It doesn't matter where you're from. There's blood for everyone. One blood, one blood, one blood. Let the weak say I am strong. Say, put a Babylon. Yo, it moved me in, so watch it make me part. Because the blood set me free, so you can't stop me, sir.
The blood come here to deliver. No matter how many times they pull the trigger, no make nobody carry the gold digger. Man, I stun me no nigga. Christ blood flow like a river. Shut off the yard and deliver. One step out a giant and the whole body shiver. The remedy in the blood fit this in and make him a winner. Him and the great mediator. Show me love and favor. Sin God like vapor. Tear them up like paper. Move the guilty case.
races and faces. And the blood they have for the bad man name, and turn them in a God man trace.
One blood, one blood, one blood. Let the weak say I am strong. Say put a Babylon.
One blood, one blood, one blood.
Yo, sissy.
It doesn't matter where you're from. There's blood for everyone.
Like a shot, no take no talk. Why this the program, the dark, them start to back. Blood and road and body line, on cool and mark.
Only one blood from the cross can change your heart.
This ain't nothing but tie up like chicken fat. This a blood that comes to wash off your dirty heart. Try and clean your tongue where you use like a python. That can get rid of bad mind like what?
Who them? Hang up, they look like I know who know me at all. You think you're hot, well the blood they have to cool you. Why you trying to run? The blood they have to fool you. Living in nothing but a one blood can save you.
One blood, one blood, one blood. It doesn't matter where you're from, there's blood for everyone. One blood, one blood, one blood. Let the weak say I am strong, say put a Babylon.
Yo, it moved me thin, so watch it make me pass. Because the blood set me free. So
where there's a will, there's a way, yeah. You gotta seek and you will find, yeah.
Make sure you mute yourself, just right quick. I'm trying to get this thing started on YouTube. It said it's waiting on me, so I'm trying to figure out how do I make this thing go. Anybody know how I just make it start the live stream?
I have an option on the top right that says upload video and go live. That's the only thing I could think of, just say go live. Click on it. I didn't click on it.
I think you pressed go live. When you press go live, it gives you the option to set it up. I'm going to see if I can do this right here, y'all. Just bear with me.
Okay.
Let me see. Because it gives you the option to do that. Okay. This is live coming. See, I thought it was going to automatically start, you know, once the time ran out. I'm just going to see. If I go live, it's going to ask me to schedule another. Let me just see, though. Let me just see. I'm going to try that. Judah, let me see. And I have this right here. Let's see. Let's try it out. And go live right here. Let's see if it has me where I want to be. One second, y'all. And I also got to make sure y'all can hear me, too, once this thing gets popping. Can I be heard on Clubhouse okay, by the way, y'all? Everybody hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear.
All right, all right. Let me see what I got going here. I'm almost ready here. Check this out. Make sure we're good to go. Got to do a little modifications here for the first time. It's not going to take long, y'all. Y'all know how I be when I do something for the first time. Go right here. Got still people coming in the room. That's good. Make sure this is plugged in. Y'all know how it is. I think I see it what it's saying right here. It was just here. Okay, wait a minute. Here we go. Go live. Okay, we are live. Can anybody see me? On YouTube, that is.
No, I still see the logo.
Okay, that's cool. But y'all can hear me on YouTube?
You're loud.
Can y'all hear me, though? On YouTube.
Can y'all hear me, though? Yes. Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
I can't guess.
You can hear me, right, Jeff?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Right.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Right. I can hear you on Clubhouse. I want to make sure I don't get that little echo thing going that what's going on. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had to mute my YouTube. That's where the echo was coming from on my.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got your replay a little delayed on YouTube, but
it's gonna be like that. That's to be expected. So yeah, Jeff, you don't need to have your YouTube audio up. In fact, you should be the only person that has to do that. So I just want to make sure everybody on YouTube, can everybody on YouTube, most importantly, can y'all hear Jeff okay? I need y'all to come off my mic and tell me that.
Yeah.
And Jeff sounds loud and clear on my end, too. Right? And on YouTube, all y'all see is the logo, the ABT logo.
You.
Oh, now y'all can see you? Okay, let me see something right quick.
Yeah, you're live.
I'm live. We got 28 people in. I'm trying to just toggle this right quick.
I'm going to go ahead and, on my side, I'm going to go ahead and mute YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, all of y'all who's also doing, like, double duty on YouTube and on Clubhouse, there's no need for you to, you know, have both of them audible because all you're going to do is hear an echo, and there's going to be a delayed one at that, you know, like the worst kind. Y'all know that. Okay, so give me one more second, y'all. I'm trying to see, how do you, also, if you don't want to be seen, how do you turn that off? Don't nobody really know about these live streams on YouTube, do y'all?
Say, Doc, I love.
There he is. Say, Doc, big bro, one question before we get started. Do you know how to, like, edit the feature where you can see the person versus just having the logo up there? Do you know how to do that?
First of all, I'm running fast.
He always got to come with that intro.
Second of all, are you streaming directly through YouTube?
Yes,
or are you
I'm streaming directly through YouTube. We're live right now. Everybody can see me.
Yo, it should give you, it should just like a regular, what's the name? It should give you an on and off camera feature. It doesn't do that for you.
In the upper left-hand corner, it has a camera there, but it just says it don't let you do anything with it, and it got managed right here. I just want to make sure I know how to do everything before we get off into this. That's all. This is our first go. We got 26 people in the chat too. Shout out to all 26 people showing up for the first time. Somebody named DeMarco Robson say he can see me, but he can't hear me. You might need to do something on your end, DeMarco. You might have to do something on your end.
He can hear you now. He's supposed to write up under the engineer.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Want to make sure we got all this right. Oh, make sure y'all thumb up the video, too. Thumb up the video. Let's get this algorithm going. Thumb up the video. Really didn't expect even 10 people to show up for the first time. I'm always underestimating stuff. Make sure y'all thumb up the video. I got a question. Can y'all see me now?
Yeah, we can still see you.
Can y'all still see me? All right. I'm trying to see if it does like Zoom does. That's what I'm trying to do. See if it does like Zoom does. We're about to get this thing started in one moment. Giving people time to get in here, too. More people coming up in here. Shout out to my people on Clubhouse. We're about to get off into this. Just be a little patient with us. Again, Clubhouse was glitching for me today. That's why I started about 15 minutes late on Clubhouse, because for some reason, Clubhouse changed again how you create a room, how you schedule a room. And I couldn't find any of that. So that was just crazy to me. We got this right here.
Josh, you're expecting me to read through Clubhouse, right?
Yes. Read through Clubhouse, yes. That'd be better for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All this stuff. Hold on 1 second, y'all. Give me 1 second. I'm going to mute for 1 second. Y'all just give me 1 minute to do this. And we still got people coming in, too. Y'all make sure y'all share this link. Make sure y'all let everybody know we are now live on YouTube. We're going to be doing this, too, every week. This is in addition to Clubhouse. We're also on Blog Talk Radio. We're also on there. Blog Talk Radio. Keanu, are you on Blog Talk? Did you go on signing the Blog Talk? Shout out to Running for Miss.
I'm on all three.
Cool. We're now broadcasting from all three platforms. We're on Blog Talk now. We're on YouTube now. And, of course, we're on Clubhouse, which is subject to change at some point to, y'all know, what's that other one? Y'all know the other one that's kicking Clubhouse behind? Fan base. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to turn this webcam off. I don't want everybody to just have to stare at me the whole time they on YouTube. I know I got to have some face and all that, but, you know, I want y'all to have something else to look at for a while. It has the camera right here, but it's not letting me turn off the webcam unless I have to manually turn it off on my end. But it should have a feature right laid off.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, Josh. Give me a second. I'm gonna see if I can see my Ivan stream from YouTube in a long time.
By the way, my mods, see what features y'all have too, because y'all gonna have to do the same thing. Make sure y'all monitor that. This is crazy. You need to be right there. It's just have it right there. It says webcam right here. It says you don't have access to this feature, but clearly I do. I guess that means no access to, you know, modifying it or whatever. Then I have this right here.
It says you need to go to your webcam settings page.
Where is that at?
Oh, no. Hold on. Then select the webcam tab, and you'll be taken to the webcam settings page. Let me pull it up.
For some reason, I got the webcam tab, and it's blurred out, like it won't let me do anything with it. It says you don't have access to this feature, which is weird. Because I'm on the webcam. I got 23 thumbs up, and I got 35 people in the room. They're trying to get up to 35. They're trying to make the thumbs up match the amount of people in the room. Let's get this thing circulating around here. Come on, y'all. Get these thumbs up.
Josh, can you go to your regular settings right quick?
Regular
settings. Top right.
Top right? Okay.
Click settings.
Okay.
Then go down to, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
And select the webcam tab if it'll allow you.
The webcam tab?
I see you and I can hear you.
Right. I'm trying to put the logo up. You know, I want to be able to come on and off the camera as I please. You know what I mean? I don't see the webcam tab in settings. I see search engine. That's the part right now.
What you on the stream? You on the Zoom?
I'm on the stream. Either way, you should be able to do it, though. Either way.
I'm going to do it myself and see. Hold on.
Oh, and another thing, too. Will y'all be able to come off y'all mic on YouTube if you have any questions? I know Big Brother Zed out know how to do that.
Send me a link on YouTube, and let me see if I can join, and I'll tell you what's going on.
Okay. Send you a link. What's about like?
Yeah, like how do I join your stage?
I think as a mod, let me see. Send to your devices, let me click on you. Maybe I have to click on your name or your icon. Nope, it's not letting me do that. Zadok had people coming on. Zadok, you still there, bro?
Hi, bro. What you say?
How are you bringing people onto your mic?
Oh, because I don't stream live to YouTube.
Okay.
I don't stream live.
Oh, okay. So that's how I thought you were on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I always do it on like stream you on the Zoom. I'm not familiar with how it works on YouTube.
You did stream on the Zoom?
Yeah, I do stream you all out there on Zoom. And I'm very, very novice.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try one more thing here then. Worst case scenario, I could just shut my laptop. You know, open it up as I see fit. It'd just be a dark screen though. That's what I don't like. They should have some type of setting. Because I see Garfield, he live streams through YouTube all the time. And I see him just get on and off. I think it's YouTube. He live streams through there all the time. And I see him just turn it off as he sees fit. Turn off as he sees fit. Y'all forgive me. I should already have this figured out before it started. I did some kind of test run. I thought it was just going to be real straightforward.
See, I think Garfield, I was just on Garfield Live. Like day before yesterday, I was on a live call with Garfield. He was in StreamYard.
Oh, that's where he was?
Yeah, he was in StreamYard, and he'll just put a StreamYard link in the chat, and you can click on it, and it'll put you in the background, and you would just have to bring him up. I know how to work StreamYard a little bit with the YouTube Live, but I have no idea.
Right. One thing. Can y'all still see me? Can y'all still see me now?
Still see you.
Y'all still see me? That's cool. Let me see. I see I'm going on the
now,
outside. What'd you say?
Now it's buffering. You're frozen and it's buffering right now.
Because I closed
okay,
this right here. Hold on 1 second. I'm just going to do what any rational person will do. This is not what I was looking for. I'm going to try this one thing, y'all, then we're going to get started. Just bear with me. I'm in control panel right now. Am I still buffering?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
This is crazy. I went on YouTube and put in this in the webcam thing, like I was just disabled on the live stream. They don't say nothing about the YouTube. Let me see. I'm going to skip through this. If I disable it, I hope y'all just see the whatchacallit though, see the logo. And then we're just going to get started. I'm just going to be like, you know, truly. Am I still buffering, by the way?
Yeah, it's still the same.
I know what's going on here, okay. Almost here, let me see, here we go. I'm trying to go to the go live feature again, here we go.
I'm still buffering. Marco put in the chat that you can't turn the webcam off if you're live. That was Marco put in the YouTube chat. That's affirmative. Nancy, I'm going to send you a link that describes the three features that states live streaming. So
I think I know how to do
it. I don't know what to tell you at this particular point.
That's cool. I'm just going to do what I was going to do. Can y'all see? Am I still buffering?
Still buffering.
But y'all, can y'all hear me okay, though? Like through YouTube, am I buffering just the visual, or is sound buffering too?
I don't have a sound.
Check the sound.
Do
sure.
A radio check. Let me see.
Testing.
Yeah, Josh, you have no sound. The buffering affects the audio and the whatever you did to try to disable the feature. Like if you controlled your camera from outside of YouTube and you're just controlling it through your computer, now it's buffering because it's not reading your camera. So
I didn't disable the camera. I didn't do anything.
Oh, okay. So, damn, why are you buffering me?
I don't know. This should be good. Oh, okay. Right here. I'm going to try this right here.
Okay. Because their features are limited. It's just like being on Instagram Live. If you go live on Instagram, there's no option to turn your camera off unless you just cover it with your thumb or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the internet connection now. I'm trying to get it to do what it does. I went right back in what it said to do. Been a struggle all day just to get on here, y'all. Still doing this, though. It's like it's saying it's trying to connect. All I did was just check some options. I didn't even click on anything. You know, I don't like turning stuff off if I don't know what it does. Here we go. Try like this. Go on. Your channel. Go to this. Go live.
Yeah, on my side on YouTube, the little feature down at the bottom where it says live is no longer there for me. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that. I'm still buffering.
Did it just go away? I got an idea. I'm going to do this, y'all. This is what I'm going to do. If it'll let me. And I'm just going to end it and just go live right there on the spot. You follow what I'm saying? I'll just do that. Because I don't think it's live anymore. Is it still live on y'all end?
Not on my end.
You're kind of just buffering, you know what I'm saying? I still see the video and whatnot, but it's just, you got that circle spinning, you know?
Yeah, that's what it's showing me. I don't know why it's even doing that. I got a full internet connection.
Yeah, mine is showing there are 8 still watching, so it must be live, but it is frozen or just circling. Started streaming 19 minutes ago, it says, but there are 8 watching currently, so that only shows me that when you're live.
Yeah, hit up their StreamYard. I don't know how to do it on Zoom. I think you got to have paid Zoom to stream on YouTube, but if you do StreamYard, it'll let you do some things. I think it got a time limit on the stream when you do it on StreamYard and connect to YouTube. I think you probably got a time limit unless you do a paid account on that too. Yeah, Josh, I would suggest that think the ministry just hawk that. I think it'll be about $15 to $20 a month. I think because I pay for it, basically you get unlimited. There's no time limit, and you can have up to like 100 people live on the screen if you wanted to in all their own boxes. So if you want to stream live through YouTube, you can connect it to your YouTube and your Facebook, and you can go live on both of those at the same time while you still go live on Clubhouse. Everybody will see at the same time. As a matter of fact, I can do one better. You can actually go live on Club Deck on your laptop while you're also streaming live through StreamYard through YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So last week, for the first time, I went fan base, Clubhouse, YouTube, Facebook, and I was on Clubhouse to Club Deck. And so I was on fan base through my phone,
and of course I was streaming. Yeah, so bro, you can do that, because I always do that. That club, you can run them both. They don't take too much power with you, well, depending on, you know, the machine. But yeah, go ahead and get that $15 a month StreamYard, and you'll have no problems. You can bring all your admins and have them live on stage controlling what you live on YouTube, because they're with you in StreamYard.
I see what's going on here, y'all. Watch this.
Oh, you know, Falk, you know, crack the code.
Yeah.
And your live stream.
Have you tried refreshing?
Yeah, I hit the live stream.
10-4. Copy that.
I know. See, the way this thing is set up, if you even leave out, it just makes it crash. That's what it does. That's why I kept doing that, even though I didn't select anything. I guess it's real cheap because it's, you know, it's free. Now what you do, it's going to take care of that. And then once we get back up, y'all can just come in here, try to see if I can desolve to be mud as it goes on or something like that. Yeah, or I might just...
I put a piece of speaking note on the camera on my end.
Okay. Well, don't worry about it. We just can't do it this week. It's too complicated, and it's going to take too long for me to reset it. But I'll go through it tonight. It was a good effort, just like the one was with fan base, but we couldn't make it happen. But I think
I... Did you just schedule another one? Because it said schedule another one at 4:56, and I'm the only idiot in there waiting. Put a testing in there.
Really? Let me see. That's what I'm saying. It's just doing stuff. Hold on one second. It's just doing stuff.
5:56.
Yeah, because she's going all behind us. That's why I'm doing that. Oh, my goodness. What is this doing? It's just acting stupid. Let me see this. Switch this out. Okay, it's not going to start unless I start it, so don't worry about it. Y'all good? Okay. I'll get rid of it.
Okay,
let me tell me what we got. I'll figure it out. Sorry for
everybody else.
So when
that, are we letting everybody else on YouTube know that we're just going to go to...
Well, can't let them know on YouTube because can't access nothing, can't do nothing. Live stream ended. There's no way for them to know, right? So hopefully they'll find us on Clubhouse. You know, we'll figure it out. We're still in my early stages, but now I'll tell you that. Anyway, sorry for the delay, everybody, but good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and once again, returning to read for me is someone who's been with ABT almost since day one and one of my all-time favorite readers. This is the one, the only, Jeff Adair. Go ahead, Jeff.
Peace, Brother Josh. Thanks for that introduction again. Peace to the teachers, students, and elders at ABT. And again, thanks for the privilege to let me read today. Truly appreciate it.
Praise God, Brother Jeff. Praise God. And of course, you know, we all appreciate you reading for us today and any and all input that you may have. And based on today's title, I'm pretty sure you'll have plenty to say about this one. But before we get off into this, let me first say to everybody on Clubhouse, welcome. And again, I apologize for the delay. I'm sorry we couldn't get this thing worked out on YouTube, but I guarantee y'all by next week, because I got this one figured out. Just got to make some settings before you go live. Make sure you have all your settings taken care of. But sorry for that. Welcome to everybody. This is your first time on Clubhouse. We're happy to have you here. But we have to remind you that this is our Sabbath study. What that means for you is if you have any questions or comments about today's class, simply hold them until the study is over. This is our Sabbath study, so we're not having any questions or comments just yet. But once the study is over, simply raise your hand, and one of my mods will bring you to the stage where you can ask any question or make any comment you want, provided you are respectful. And speaking of respect, To all y'all in the chat room, respect the room by trying to keep the chatter to a minimum. My mods will be posting scriptures and sources. And if they have you enough spamming up the chat, people will miss the scriptures. So I don't have a problem with anybody, you know, just said amen or I didn't know that or something like that. But don't turn it into a back and forth with you and someone else in the chat. You attacking anybody in the chat, and most importantly, you taking shots at me, the teacher, or what I'm saying in the chat. If you do that, one of my mods will promptly expel you from the room. No questions asked. If you feel like you were kicked out unfairly, simply DM one of my mods, you know, with that whack audio thing they got on Clubhouse now. Can't even text anymore. Oh, yeah, y'all know I got fake shots at Clubhouse every opportunity I get. Let them know, my mods, that you think you were kicked out unfairly. But I warn you, my mods rarely, if ever, make this mistake. So with that being said, the title of today's class is Jesus and John the Baptist were not conceived the same way. That's right. Today's class is titled Jesus and John the Baptist were not conceived the same way. And just continuing with what we talked about last week concerning the virgin birth, we did a class last week titled, Why Did Joseph Want to Put Away Mary? And I had done that particular class before, but I just came at it from a different angle and tried to show some people what the law says about a man putting away his wife. And I want to show everybody that the only time a man put away his wife, which means to divorce her or to end their engagement, is if he felt the wife was bad or unworthy or had done something wrong outside of, you know, sleeping with another man. We proved that you can never find any case of a man putting away his wife other for that reason. However, the opposition teaches that when it says Joseph put away Mary, and I'm finding out that they all say that. All the ones I came across, the one West Hebrews, they say when Joseph put away Mary, they try to make the old English term put away mean something similar to the modern usage of that term. Like I said, I'm going to put this away. That means like to hide it somewhere or to hide it away. But that terminology put away, as we show time and time again, always in the context of a marriage means to end the marriage or to end the engagement. It always meant that. So when they try to tell you, oh, it just simply means Joseph tried to hide Mary because he had impregnated her, that is a lie. That is false doctrine. So we refuted that. Nobody even tried to address that at all. That video was also uploaded on YouTube. Nobody could prove that put away in the context of a marriage ever meant anything other than ending the marriage or ending the engagement. Nobody could refute that. Nobody even tried to refute it because they know they can't show that put away in the context of a marriage ever means hiding something or hiding someone. So as we move on today, we're going to address another lie that the one West Hebrews tell concerning the virgin birth. So here's the problem. When you have a disagreement in doctrine, it's one thing to not have an understanding on something. That's everybody. Everybody's going to come across that. But when you start just lying outright and making up stuff to make your doctrine fit, see, that's the problem. And nobody seems to notice among the one West Hebrews on this particular topic that they're just making up stuff as they go. And the lie that they tell concerning Jesus and John the Baptist is that when it says the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and that's how she got pregnant, they'll say, no, it does not mean that Mary became pregnant through the Holy Spirit. They'll say it doesn't mean that. They'll say something around that it just simply means that Jesus filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. But here's the problem, sisters and brothers. It doesn't say that about Jesus. We're going to show you that it says that about John the Baptist, but it doesn't say that about Jesus. And the weird thing is, y'all, these things that I'm describing were both written by Luke, the same author. So I think if Luke wanted to express that the same way that John the Baptist was conceived is the same way Jesus was conceived, he would have used the exact same wording, or at the very least, very similar wording. So they'll read these two narratives, and they try to force John the Baptist's narrative on Jesus's narrative when it comes to their birth. Because what they're trying to do is make Jesus a normal man. They are working overtime to try to make Jesus a normal man. Even when the Bible tells you that the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God, itself was involved in Jesus' conception, they still try to make that mean something else. I heard one camp, I think it was IUIC. They said that in Luke chapter 3, when it says Jesus was as supposed the law of Moses, as was supposed the son of Joseph, it just meant that he was his son according to the law of Moses. Doesn't say that in the text. Never uses that type of wording describing anybody else, because in that case, everybody is supposed to be a father's son according to the law of Moses, if you look at it that way. And the list goes on and on and on. But today I'm going to show you how these guys try to make the conceptions of Jesus and John the Baptist be identical, when in fact they're quite different. They read different, they produce different results, and even one of the parents, a single parent concerning both of them, responded to how they would be born, and one of them was, you know, considered righteous, and the other one was considered an unbeliever. So we're going to go back and forth between these two narratives and walk it down so you can see once and for all that these people, whether intentionally or ignorantly, are trying to strip Jesus of all of his divinity. And the only person I can think of who would attempt something like that is Satan himself. So what we're going to do first, Jeff, we're going to start at Luke chapter 1. We're going to start with John the Baptist's story, because he was born first. He was born 6 months earlier than Jesus. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1. And it's just amazing to me that they keep getting away with this lie. And I don't like beating a dead horse, but what I do like to point out is the mistakes the horse made before it died, before it was beaten to death. And beyond. And one of the misconceptions they keep trying to push on people is that when it describes Jesus' conception and John the Baptist's conception, they're saying the same thing. You have to be blind, deceived, or just plain stupid if you're reading both of these narratives written by the same author and tell me it's describing their conceptions the same way. Something is wrong with you if you honestly believe that. I am not blamed. But this is Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 5 to 15. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 15. And when you get there, Jeff, go ahead and read.
Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
Now it said there was in the days of Herod, you know, King Herod of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So Zacharias was a Levitical priest. He was a Levite. And his wife was also a Levite from the lineage of Aaron. But continue.
Verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless.
And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. It does not mean they were sinless. Because some people read this and say they were blameless. That means they never sinned. No. This is not to be taken in an extreme sense. Blameless does not mean never done anything bad in your life. It just means overall they were considered righteous people. But that's not even what we're here to talk about. Continue reading.
Verse 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years.
He said, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. That means she could not have children. And they were both well stricken in years. I mean, they were up in age. They were old. Right? But the question you need to ask yourself as soon as you read this is, how did they know Elizabeth could not have children? It's obvious, sisters and brothers, they had been trying for years. They didn't have the medical technology we have today, where you can take a woman who was even a virgin and examine her and be able to tell if she'll ever be able to have kids. Back then, they found out through trial and error. So this woman could not have kids. It doesn't state why. You can go online and look up why back in ancient biblical times, what would cause a woman to be sterile. I looked it up before. Some sources say it got something to do with the climate and the heat that could make a woman sterile. But she could not have children. She is not a virgin, Elizabeth, in any sense of the word, because the word virgin can also just mean a young woman. So she's not a young woman, and she's clearly had sex before. That's why the text never describes her as a virgin. But continue reading.
Chapter 1, verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, and the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
So this is talking about Zacharias. His lot, the job he was assigned, was to burn incense in the temple of the Lord. And then it says he went into the temple of the Lord. Or he was in the temple of the Lord when he did that, so he had to go into it to do that. But go ahead and read.
Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense.
So a whole multitude of people were praying outside of the temple at the time of incense, which was normal in ancient Israel. People would be outside the temple. That was their religious site. Makes sense. But go ahead and read.
Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense.
Now I want y'all to immediately notice something here. Which one of this couple did the angel approach? Did he approach Zacharias or did he approach Elizabeth, Jeff? Who did he approach? You just read it. Read 11 again, just in case you forgot. Read it again.
Right side of the altar of incense.
No, verse 11, start from the beginning.
And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense.
So who did the angel approach?
The angel approached Zacharias while
he was doing the temple service. Right, he approached Zacharias, Jeff. I mean, you know, she ain't nowhere around, right? I get it, though, Jeff. You know, I have this happen a lot. You get more caught up in reading than, you know, trying to figure out what I'm talking about. But, yes. But the reason why I'm pointing this out is because you're going to see the reverse when we get to Jesus' parents. In John the Baptist's case, the angel approached the man. In Jesus' case, the angel approached the woman. And in both cases, both parents were told about something that would happen. But we're going to get off into that. But continue, verse 12.
Verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him.
Okay, so another thing we're noticing is that when this angel approached Zacharias, he was troubled. You know, he was disturbed by this. And fear fell upon him because, you know, these angels just pop up out of nowhere. I mean, picture that. You just in your room one night getting ready for bed. You put on your night clothes, and all of a sudden an angel just pops right up in front of you. That would scare anybody. And that's what they would do. They didn't just come walking up casually. They just pop right up there, like teleportation or something. But go ahead and read.
Verse 12. And when Zacharias saw, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.
He said, but the angel said unto him, fear not. So notice he was afraid, and then the angel told him, don't be afraid. Right? For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, this seems to indicate that he was still praying for a child, even though they were well stricken in age and she was confirmed to be barren. Either that, or it just simply means he was just praying in general, and he decided to tell him that your wife is going to have a child. But it makes more sense that the angel will tell him your prayer is heard and your wife is going to have a child, that he was praying for a child, right? But let's see what else he's going to say. Verse 14.
Luke chapter 1, verse 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth.
And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Some other people are going to celebrate. It's about when John the Baptist is born, right? Continue.
Verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb.
And his mother shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Did it say that?
No, it says
he
shall be filled. The child.
The child. John the Baptist. Did it say the Holy Ghost shall come upon her concerning his conception? Did it say that?
No.
So all this says is that she was going to have a child that would be filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. This is not talking about her. This is not talking about Zacharias. In the conception story of John the Baptist, the only person the Holy Ghost is involved with is John the Baptist. Do anybody else see anything different there on the stage? Or if you see anything different, press 2. If you see that's all it says, press 1 or type 1 in the chat. On the stage, do y'all see anything else other than what we just read?
Nope, just plain upon tables.
Yeah, that's plain.
That's plain. You can't force the narrative. You can't make the Holy Ghost be on or in anybody in this passage at this point but John the Baptist. Right? Now, let me show you how this reads in other translations so y'all can see what it means when it says he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I mean, just plainly speaking, it just means out the womb. This guy's going to have the Holy Ghost. But let me show y'all how this reads in other translations, because I don't want anybody to pretend like they can't see what's plainly being said, because it's very plain. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to, these one-West Hebrews, these lying one-West Hebrews, I'm just calling them what they are trying to force this narrative that you're reading here, John the Baptist's narrative, concerning his conception. That means how his mama got pregnant with him. That's what that means. He said his conception. What they're trying to do is force his conception the narrative of his conception on Jesus. Now, was there anything supernatural involving John the Baptist's conception? Most definitely. His mom was a confirmed barren woman. So there was a miracle involved there. And it said they were old and well stricken in years. So this woman was beyond childbearing age. She had already went through what a lot of women call the change or menopause. So yes, this is miraculous. But it's not the same kind of miracle. See, just because two things are miraculous or two things are a miracle doesn't mean the miracles themselves are the same.
That's right. It's levels to this.
It's levels to this. And that's what they try to do. They're not stupid. They can see, oh, yeah, this is definitely something unusual about John the Baptist's birth. There's definitely something miraculous about it. But you can't take two completely different miracles and try to make them the same just because one of these miracles contradict your doctrine, your camp doctrine. These are not the same kind of miracles. They're complete opposites, even in execution. In one narrative, the woman is old. In another narrative, what we're going to read about Mary, the woman is young. In one narrative, the angel approaches the man. In the other narrative, we're going to see that the angel approached the woman. Luke is being very detailed here to show you this is how this would happen, but this is how that would happen. But you got idiots who want to jump up and be like, no, they the same. They mean the same thing. No, they don't. This says he will be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Let me show y'all how this reads in the ERV, or the easy-to-read version Bible. This is Luke 1 and 15, and it says, he will be a great man for the Lord, talking about John the Baptist. He will never drink wine or beer. Even before he is born, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So some translations translate this to mean even before he is born, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me show you how it reads in another translation. This is the BDE, Bible in Basic English, Luke 1 and 15. Look what it says. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will not take wine or strong drink, and he will be full of the Spirit of God from his birth. So it's two ways this can be interpreted. One of them means, you know, even before he is born, because if it's from the womb, who's to say that the Holy Spirit wasn't on him while he was in the womb? Because if he came out with the Spirit on him, who's to say it wasn't already on him before he came out the womb? But another way you can interpret it is as soon as he came out the womb, he had the Holy Spirit. But no matter which way you interpret it, both interpretations agree that when he came out the womb, he had the Holy Spirit, and he would have it his entire life. From the womb, y'all. This is what it said about the Holy Spirit. He's going to have it from the womb. That's what it said about John the Baptist. Now, what we're going to do is go to Luke chapter 1. Still in Luke chapter 1, I mean, and go to verse 26. Now, let's see the birth of Jesus, or the conception of Jesus. Let's see that. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 26 to 34. We just read Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 15. Now we're going to read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 34. Because what they'll do is they'll try to bamboozle you, these one-word Hebrews. There are similarities between the conception of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Nobody's denying that. There are similarities. But similar does not always mean same. John the Baptist's conception has more in common with Isaac's conception. They were both born to elderly parents. Both of them had mothers who were confirmed to not be able to have children. Now, you mean to tell me John the Baptist's conception is exactly like Isaac, but the one with Hebrews want to make it just like Jesus's? Nobody has a problem with that, though. Nobody's going to stand up and say, you know what? He got a point. John the Baptist's conception is exactly like Isaac's, not like Jesus's. Jesus' conception is unlike anybody's. And they don't just mean among Israelites. History. Don't let these so-called conscious people, the conscious community, or the people that represent Kemet try to lie to you and tell you, no, the virgin birth came from Kemet. It came from ancient Egypt. Horus was born of a virgin. No, he was not. It was unusual circumstances surrounding his birth, but Horus was not conceived through a virgin birth. It plainly tells you in any ancient Egyptian text that his father, Osiris, had sex with his mother, Isis, and that's how Horus was born. So it's kind of like it's backwards. The conscious community wants to tell you that Horus had a virgin birth. They want to take the virgin birth of Jesus and put it on Horus. But the one with Hebrews want to take the sex and put it on Jesus. Both sides are backwards. So when the one with Hebrews come across people from the Kemetic community, they'll just say, no, Joseph was his biological father. They had sex. You know, Joseph, you know, got Mary pregnant and became the biological father of Jesus. That's how they try to silence the conscious community. But we could kill two birds with one stone, because number one, I can show you that Horus was not a virgin birth. And then I can show the one with Hebrews that Jesus was a virgin birth, meaning conceived through a virgin who had never had sex. But right now, all we're doing is just showing you how they both were conceived, and the one with Hebrews can't even keep up with that because they keep trying to read John the Baptist's conception into Jesus's narrative. Now, either somebody's stupid or somebody lying. I'll let them decide which one it is. But this is Luke chapter 1. We're going to read
26-34. Nah, they lying. They ain't stupid. They lying.
Ariel said option A. He said option A. So this is Luke chapter 1, 26-34. Go ahead and read, Jeff.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
For a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary.
So in this narrative, who was the angel sent to? The man or the woman? The husband or the wife? Who was he sent to, Jeff?
The woman.
The woman. But when John the Baptist was about to be conceived, the angel went to the man. See, I'm just showing y'all, I'm highlighting all the differences. So when we get to the key differences, they won't be able to lie. Because I know they can see this difference right here. If you ask them, who did the angel come to among the parents of John the Baptist? Did he come to his dad or did he come to his mom? They're going to say he came to his dad. Say so right there. Well, who did the angel come to with Jesus? His dad or his mom? Well, it says right there. It came to his mom. See, the reason why I'm doing it like this, y'all, because I'm going to show you they can see differences until they don't want to. That's why I'm breaking it down like this. This is what Big Brother would call the angle I'm taking. I'm trying to show y'all that these people, as Ariel said, they be lying. Because I know they can see these differences right here. So don't try to act like you don't see the other differences. Luke wrote all of this. So if he wanted to say they were born or conceived under the exact same circumstances, he would have wrote it that way. So now we're seeing the key difference. Angel approached the woman this time. Well, continue reading, please.
Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
Wait a minute. It says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women. I don't recall it saying that about John the Baptist. I don't recall the angel saying that to Elizabeth or to Zechariah about Elizabeth. That's not to say she wasn't blessed among women. But I'm just letting you know, look at the difference in the greetings. And both of these angels are Gabriel, by the way, that we're reading about. The one you read about earlier and the one you're reading about now. I'm going to prove that to y'all, but it tells you right here that it's Gabriel right here. But I'm going to show y'all that was Gabriel talking to John the Baptist's father, too. Right? But let's see what else it says. Go ahead and read.
Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
So she was troubled, too. Just like it says that Zacharias was troubled. Remember I said about the angels popping up out of nowhere? So both of them were afraid. We're going to show you that. See, those are the similarities. Same angel, same reaction to the angel showing up, but we got to show y'all the differences. See, that's how you read these narratives. They don't read these narratives like this. They will read, when I was listening to, because I went back and listened to more of the debate between Vocab Malone and Captain Tazaria, shout out to both of those brothers. But I went back and listened to the debate, and I heard Captain Tazaria say the same thing that happened with Mary and Jesus happened with John the Baptist and his parents. He said that, but he only said it. He didn't put both of the narratives next to each other and highlight what they got in common and where they differ. See, that's what you're supposed to do. You can't just be like, well, this is kind of like this, so they're the same. No. We don't know how old Joseph was because it doesn't tell us, but we know that Mary was young because it calls her a virgin. And at that time in ancient Israel, when you were a virgin, you were 99.9% of the time also a young woman. Because in that culture, it was frowned upon if you were a virgin, like in your mid-20s or late 30s. So she was a young woman, possibly anywhere between 15 and 20 years old, y'all. I'm just telling y'all the truth. In ancient culture, you know what I'm saying? Adolescence, that's a 20th century concept, y'all. They had limits, but you ain't going to read nothing about the word pedophile in the Bible. That's a European construct. I'm just telling y'all the truth. I'm not promoting pedophilia. I don't want y'all to say, this brother's trying to say Israel. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just letting you know that in ancient Israel, women were getting married as young as 15, 16 years old, and sometimes the men well in their 30s. But that's in the Middle East anyway. You follow what I'm saying? And that's in a culturally controlled environment. So we don't know how old Joseph was, but we know Mary had to be a considerably young woman. So we got a considerably young woman who's the mother of Jesus, and we got a considerably old woman who's the mother of John the Baptist. The angel approached the man with the conception of John the Baptist. But the angel approached the woman with the conception of Jesus. I'm just showing y'all the differences. And I know people can see the differences. Well, that ain't hard. You know, Mary was young. You know, Elizabeth was old. The angel came to Zechariah first. The angel came to Mary first. You know, nobody's going to debate me on that because they can see these differences. So how come when I highlight obvious other differences, but it goes against their doctrine, now they want to fall back and act like they can't see those differences? See, that's that lying part of them that I don't like. Because y'all see stuff until y'all don't want to. It's like you're watching a horror movie, right? And then when the gory stuff comes up, you cover your eyes and be like, tell me when it's over. That's what they do. They see until they don't want to see. But continue reading, please.
Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God.
Didn't the angel say the same thing to Zacharias? Don't be afraid, fear not. Very similar, right? It's similar. Nobody's denying that, right? Caught both on by themselves too, didn't he? Go ahead and read.
Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
And he said, behold, you will conceive in your womb. In today's modern day English, all that means is you will become pregnant. Right? And bring forth a son, that means give birth to a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, before we read any further, is there anybody on the stage that believes that Mary did not understand where babies come from? Y'all come off your mic and answer that. Before we go any further, I need to know if anybody thinks that.
You know, that's a tough question.
Right here. I just want to make sure. I want to make sure before we go further. Because the one where Hebrews would have you believe this woman did not know where babies come from.
Put a one in the chat if you understand.
Put a one in the chat if you understand, if you believe Mary knew where babies come from. Like her parents had the birds and the bees conversation with her long ago. But the reason why I'm saying this is because Mary's question that's coming up can only make sense if Jesus was a virgin birth. Other than that, the woman is saying, I don't know where babies come from. Now, do y'all really think the one West Hebrews are that stupid? No.
Yes.
Not, I mean, hold up. Who said yes? Who said yes? Who said yes? Okay. How about this big bro? Let me rephrase the question. Do y'all really think the one West Hebrews are so stupid that they don't know where babies come from?
Oh, no. Okay. They're making babies left and right.
They're making babies left and right. So we know they know that, right? So we know they're not stupid to think they don't, that Mary didn't know where babies come from. But keep reading. There's a reason why I said this. Go ahead and read. Because he said each other. Go ahead.
Verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the son of the highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
And in two verses, the angel Gabriel just mentioned two fathers of Jesus. It said he shall be called the son of the highest. That means the most high. That's God. So it's going to be called the son of God, meaning God is his father. And it says, and the Lord God, one of his fathers, shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's his other father. This is talking about his conception. So you won't read anything about Joseph being Jesus' father when it comes to the story concerning his conception. See, they go to places in the Bible where Joseph is called Jesus' father long after the conception period. Does he see? Is that his Joseph's son, Joseph the carpenter's son? They'll read that. See, they said that Joseph is his father. Everybody thought that Joseph was Jesus' father. I don't know if people know this or not, but the virgin birth was not something that Jesus was going around advertising about himself. Neither was Mary, neither was Joseph. This is information that did not come out until many years later when the Gospels were written. Obviously, Jesus shared it with his disciples. And then what's even crazier, y'all, is they go to points in time when Jesus just started his ministry or when he was 12 years old in the temple, and they point out that's when people was referring to Jesus as Joseph's son or Joseph as Jesus' father. Even Mary called him his father. Surely if Mary called referred to Joseph as Jesus' father, that means he had to be the biological father. No, it doesn't. Because when it comes to conception, it only mentions two, God and David. Why is Joseph not mentioned in the conception period? Because he wasn't involved in the conception period. He was involved in the raising period, you know, raising Jesus up. That's how he was his father. But whenever you read about the conception, how Mary would actually get pregnant, Joseph is never mentioned as being involved with that. Every place the One West Hebrews will take you to show you that people believe that Joseph was Jesus' actual father is long after the conception period. But I agree that Joseph was his father in the raising period, in the birth period, like after he got here, yeah. But the conception, no. And they try to act like they don't understand that. On my YouTube channel, I had a brother trying to tell me, if you go to the Greek, it says Mary conceived. Conceived means to get pregnant, you know, through whatever, through sex or whatever. So that means sex had to be involved. I told him, I said, well, the Bible says, Jesus said that God was his father. Now, how does a man become a father? Under normal circumstances, how do you become a father? He has sex. So how come when you read the word conceived in the Greek, that's your trump card? See, that definitely means they had sex. But when we read about God being our father, I don't see anybody making any arguments that God knocked up any woman to get us here. I don't see nobody making any arguments for that. So let's not try to use carnal words to explain spiritual concepts. We can't explain how God made Jesus be born without a man. No more can we explain how God created Adam from the dirt without a father or a mother. And so one way people claim that he had a father. You know, that's the weird thing about these guys. The person in the Bible who is described over and over again as the first man, they want to give him a mama and a daddy. But the person in the Bible that it says was born, you know, without the help of a man, they want to give them a daddy, a biological daddy. Why is it that every time God does something supernatural, they make it carnal? Adam's creation was supernatural. He was created from the dust of the ground without a mother or a father having sex. Jesus was created or born in the flesh without a father. So what do the One West Hebrews do? They'll say, no, Adam and Eve, they weren't the first person. They got parents. You can't read that anywhere. That's not even implied. I can understand somebody making an argument that there were other people here besides Adam and Eve. But when you were trying to say, oh, not only were there other people here, but some of these people had to be the biological father of Adam and Eve. When the text plainly tells you God formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So why is it that every time you turn around, they're trying to strip Jesus of his divinity, or they're trying to downplay the miracles of God? Because that's what the devil does. And nobody really just want to come out and just say how evil these people are, whether intentionally or ignorantly. Evil is still evil. I want people to understand that. Every time you turn around, they're trying to strip something from God and make it just plain. The two people, the two fathers involved in the conception is the Most High and David. But continue reading. Verse 33.
Luke chapter 1, verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
So the angel Gabriel is giving Mary a prophecy about Jesus, right? From what his name is going to be, or, you know, Yeshua, from his, what his name is going to be to what he's going to do, right? If an angel came to a woman right now, who even she was an actual virgin, and said, one day your child is going to do all of this, the average woman is going to understand, well, he must mean that one day I'm going to meet a man, eventually lose my virginity to him, and he's going to impregnate me, and then the child that this angel is talking about is going to grow up and do all of this. That's what anybody would logically think if this is all Gabriel meant. But watch how Mary questions him. Read the next verse.
Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?
She said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In plain English, she's saying, how can these things happen, seeing I'm a virgin? How can these things happen, being that I've never had sex? This question does not make sense unless Mary did not know how babies are born. Do y'all understand that? This question don't make sense. The only way you can make it make sense is if she understood that the angel was telling her everything I just told you is going to happen without the aid of a man getting you pregnant. That's the only way that makes sense, y'all. Other than that, they want you to believe that this woman walking around not knowing where babies come from. And we're going to show you, by the way, the angel Gabriel answers her that he included sex in it. Like, how is it going to happen without sex? Because he could have said, because somebody could argue, well, she asked, how shall these things be? She just probably meant, you know, after he's here, how is he going to raise up and be called the son of the highest and reign over the house of Jacob forever. But she said, how shall these things be? And the angel Gabriel is going to take her all the way to the conception to beyond. Because that's what she wanted to know. How are these things going to happen since I know not a man? But let's just confirm what this means. Because what I want y'all to understand is in the Bible, Old and New Testament, if a woman is called a virgin, I don't care if it's in the Hebrew Alma or in the Hebrew Bethula, I don't care. The way you know for certain if she's a virgin in the sense of never had sex versus simply meaning a young woman who may or may not have had sex, this is the way you know. Let's go to Genesis 24. There's one formula you need to know. And if you see this formula with Mary, then you know if she was an actual virgin. But even if you believe that at some point after what we're going to read, Mary and Joseph had sex to have Jesus, then when did it happen? Because you don't read it anywhere. You can't just insert some invisible narrative between the angel Gabriel telling her this, because she wasn't with Joseph at this time. She was visiting her cousin, Elizabeth. You can't just invent some imaginary narrative between that and her getting back around Joseph and be like, you know, it don't say it. It ain't written. But somewhere between there, they did it. What? Who reads the Bible like that? Who's just making up extra material? Who got this special edition of the Bible, Jeff, the deleted scenes? They got a deleted scenes Bible. Y'all ever seen a movie before on DVD and they got extras and one of the extras is deleted scenes? And sometimes if you go back and you look at the deleted scenes, it can kind of help explain something. That's the one with Bible, the deleted scenes, because I don't see that in there. That must have been taken out. Lou must have been like, in the final draft, oh, no, I'm going to cut that. My letter going to be too long. My gospel going to be too long. And I'll just tell you. And they got some stupid people that are like, well, yeah, that's what happened. You can't read any of that. But let's see what it means when it says, if you see the two words, virgin and know a man or not know a man. That's how we're going to be able to determine in what sense was Mary a virgin. They like to tell that word. It just means she was a young woman. Okay. This is Genesis 24. We're reading about when Isaac first saw Rebekah, his future wife. Genesis 24, 15 and 16. Read that, please, Jeff. This is not hard. Why are these people playing with us? Why are they playing with you? Go ahead and read.
Genesis chapter 24, verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder.
And the person that he's talking about, he said, before he was done speaking, he's talking about one of Abraham's servants. But go ahead and read.
And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up.
Do y'all see the formula that it gives you when it uses the word virgin to let us know if it just simply means a young woman who may or may not have had sex, or if it means a young woman or just a woman who's never had sex? The formula is always this. It calls her a virgin. Then it says at some point she's never known a man. Is that not the exact formula we got in the New Testament with Mary? First it said the angel Gabriel came to a virgin espoused to Joseph. And then later on, she says, I've never known a man. That she's explaining to you what kind of virgin she was. So when the angel Gabriel approached her, she had never had sex. So I'm trying to figure out, because they try to make the sex sometimes, depending on who you're talking to, they try to make the sex happen sometime before the angel Gabriel even talked to Mary. But if that's the case, then Mary just lied to a holy angel. Why would she do that? That doesn't make sense. Their interpretations make Joseph and Mary some shady people. They make Joseph and Mary sound like Ananias and Sapphira. You know, that couple in the New Testament, the book of Acts, that lied to the Holy Ghost. He said, you have not lied to men, but unto the Holy Ghost. That's how y'all make Mary and Joseph sound. She was telling the truth. The narrative tells us she's a virgin, and then she herself explains in what sense. She said, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? So we know when she said that, the narrative is letting us know that she was undoubtedly a virgin. The opposite of Elizabeth, who knew she was barren because she had had sex numerous times. Because y'all know, we're talking to adults here, y'all. Y'all know if you have unprotected sex and even if, you know, a man does his business into a woman, y'all know that doesn't necessarily mean she's going to get pregnant. But no man is going to be like, oh, just because I did it that one time, oh, she's barren, she can't have kids. No. We're going to try like hell until we know for sure, man, I've been doing this for years. It ain't happening. This woman don't got old. It ain't happening. So for them to know that Elizabeth was barren, they had to try. And even if they just weren't trying to have kids, y'all gonna tell me that Zachariah just wasn't just casually having maritals with his wife? So even when they weren't trying, they were just doing it for enjoyment, he knew, hey, nothing. But that wasn't the case with Mary. Mary defined what kind of virgin she was. She was the kind that had never had sex. I've never known a man. Sexually, that's what she meant. So from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 up to 34, we can safely say, if she ever had sex with Joseph, it wasn't up to this point. It wasn't in time before this point. So what we got to do is go through the narrative until Joseph comes in the picture, and somebody has to show us at what time Joseph slept with Mary before. That's what you got to do. And they can't do it, y'all. And I'm just amazed that there are people on this planet stupid enough to fall for this when these people are clearly showing you nothing. You don't believe they're giving you a lot and they're giving you nothing. It's an old magician trick. Distraction. We're going to distract you by speaking about John the Baptist and how he was conceived. We're going to take all the attention away from how Jesus was conceived. We're not going to focus on what Mary herself said. The woman said out of her own mouth she had never had sex. She had never known a man. And the narrative calls her a virgin, just like it says in Genesis. Rebecca was a virgin. She had never known a man. So somebody, after verse 34, needs to show me when did Joseph sleep with Mary to get her pregnant with Jesus. That's what you got to show. When did he do that? They can't show that because that's not what happened. So what do? They just distract you right back to John the Baptist. That's exactly what Cap did in that debate. When he read this very verse in verse 34, he said, it's the same thing that happened with John the Baptist. No, 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 it's not. And he said this after he first went to Genesis 24 and broke down what it means when it says, no, not a man. How do you do that? He broke down correctly what it means when it says, no, no, not a man. Go back and listen to the debate. And then went to Luke chapter 1 and read when Mary says she know not a man, and then turned around and said that's the same thing that happened with John the Baptist. So Elizabeth had never known a man? No. So how can both of those things be the same thing? Mary matches up with Rebecca, not with Elizabeth. Just like John the Baptist matches up with Isaac, not with Jesus. They're playing mismatch. Mary was a virgin in the same way Rebecca was a virgin. She was a young woman who had never had sex. Both Isaac and John the Baptist were born of elderly parents of which the mother could not have children. Why are we comparing John the Baptist's birth and trying to make it like Jesus' birth when it was like Abraham and Sarah? Why are they doing that? You got a clear-cut example of a identical situation with John the Baptist's conception and birth, but you want to put it on Jesus. You got a similar situation of what kind of virgin Mary was, but you want to make her like any other woman. Y'all don't see the demonic nature behind this stuff? This don't disturb y'all? This don't make y'all shudder? It's like you're watching something on TV about an evil entity that's parading around and getting into people's houses. And then as it describes it, you realize you got one in your house. What would that do to you? You're watching the news broadcast of it, and it just got you, oh, my God, it's so creepy. But wait a minute. What they're describing, the characteristics of it, that's how my son acts. That would freak you out, wouldn't it? Then how come we don't get freaked out when we see all the characteristics of a group of people doing the stuff Satan do? And let's try to strip Jesus of his divinity or try to take credit away from the power of God. Why don't they make y'all shudder? Why does that not disturb y'all? Y'all are numb to this kind of stuff. It disturbs me. It really does. It's not just simple stubbornness, y'all, or pride or arrogance or ignorance. Somebody, one of these upper echelons in one of these camps, they doing this crap on purpose. They doing this crap on purpose. They know. People need to understand, the devil has disciples too. And his job and their job is to pretend like they're the disciples of Jesus. But let me show y'all another example.
And one thing, if you go to the top of the pyramid of these camps, the guys who are promoting this doctrine and they look up to tell them the truth, These guys, some of these guys are millionaires. So they got a lot to lose if they lose members. So it takes a lot of pride to not change your doctrine and admit that you were wrong with your teachings.
Right.
That's something.
And a lot of them know, Jeff, and they still continue to push this. And it's a shame. And these cannon fodder members, you know, the one that just gets sent out just to get obliterated by Dre and Zadok and Benaiah, right? They don't know any better. And we try to show them stuff, they just fall back on what they were taught. They don't want to think for themselves. One-West Hebrews do not like to think for themselves, the lower-level ones. They don't. You try to force them to think for themselves, they get real angry with you. They like to be told, this means this, that means that. Don't bother checking behind me. Don't bother looking it up. That's what that means. Yes, sir. Why do y'all think they have a whole militant approach? And this is nothing against the military, but no institution on the planet brainwashes better than the military. Y'all didn't know that? And this ain't nothing against anybody who went to the military or who's in the military. I'm just letting you know, if you want to brainwash somebody, do it through a military. They tell you when to wake up. They tell you how to make your bed. They tell you how to shine your shoes. They just direct you on everything. And all you get to say is, yes, sir. All you're trained to do in the military is to follow orders. That is it. Ain't no sergeant going to come to you and say, soldier, if you think my orders are incorrect, you know, go with what you think. Think for yourself. They ain't going to tell you that. The military is a programming institution. That's what it is. That's all it is. And then you go to these Hebrew Israelite camps, and what do you get? Bunch of militant people, IUIC, always marching up and down. They want everybody to see they're good little soldiers. See, I be peeking the game. I'm a psychologist, y'all. I see the psychology behind everything that goes on around me. So when they send one of their cannon fodder is a soldier and a dispensable soldier who has no high rank. They just send him out to set off the traps or to weed out where the enemy is hiding. They don't even expect him to make it out alive, right? That's cannon fodder. So they'll send the cannon fodder over here. But all the cannon fodder knows how to do is to follow orders. So when you try to show them something that contradicts the orders in this metaphor represent their doctrine, that contradict the orders they were given, they're just going to say, hey, I was told that means this, and they're going to keep on trying to fight against you. Just like in a real war. You can't reason with the other side in the middle of the war. Can you imagine that, Jeff? We go to war, and me and you on the front lines, and we're going against the enemy, and then, you know, we collide with them. We ain't got no gun. We just fighting. We just locked up. And Jeff is like, hey, man, you fighting for the wrong side, man. Don't you know you on the wrong side? You think that guy's going to be like, you know what? You're right. No. He was trained that you are the enemy, and he need to eliminate you. So you can't reason with him. But why do they got that mindset in the first place? Because they go to a camp. I bet y'all didn't even know that the word camp is a military term. Oh, I'm gonna do a whole lesson on the brainwashing, y'all. I'm just telling y'all. Don't say I ain't tell you. Right? Numbers chapter 31, 17 to 18. And like I said, this ain't nothing against the military or anybody who in it or anybody who got family in it. But you got to admit that if you were ever in the military or know somebody who was, all the military trains you how to do is to follow orders. Don't question anything. Don't debate anything. Just do what you're told. Grown men and women being treated like children. That's the military. I'm just telling y'all, that's what it is. You know, ever go to no military and your commanding officer be like, if you don't agree with something I'm saying, you know, let's talk about it. You know, maybe I'm wrong. They ain't gonna do that. They gonna bust your butt down for what? Insubordination. Numbers 31, 17 to 18. Read that, please.
Numbers chapter 31, verse 17. Now, therefore, kill every male.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, Joe. Let me give some context. Y'all know that ain't how I roll. This is when God commanded Moses to get revenge against the Midianites. told the children of Israel to get revenge against the Midianites in war. Start over, please, and y'all going to see what we're getting at. Go ahead, please, Jeff.
Numbers chapter 31, verse 17. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that has no man by lying with him.
Do you see how it describes no man by lying with him? That means having sex. In other words, kill all the non-virgin women. You see how it always qualifies it? It's going to either say no man and she's a or not no man and she's a virgin, or not no man because she never lied with a man or had sex with a man. It's going to show you that. Keep reading.
Verse 18, but all the women children that have not known a man by lying with them, keep alive for yourself.
So there are two ways a virgin is described in the Bible. One, it'll just say the word virgin, and it'll say not known man. And the second way, it'll say not known man by lying with him. Those are the two ways you know for sure in the Bible if you are dealing with a virgin who is simply a young woman who may or may not have had sex, and a straight-up virgin that has never had sex. So, Jeff, how was Mary described in the New Testament as a virgin?
By someone who hasn't known any man.
Who has known by someone who has never known a man. So where are they getting sex from when it comes to the conception of Jesus, y'all? Where are they getting it from? The people involved in the story are saying, yo, I ain't never had sex. You're calling Mary a liar. I'm the one with people. Look, girl, you know you don't have sex before. Why are you trying to lie? You know you don't did that. You know you ain't no virgin. That's how they sound to me. But let's go back. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. John the Baptist and Jesus were not conceived the same way. John the Baptist didn't say, how shall these things be, seeing that my wife has never known a man? He didn't say that. Mary said that. Mary said, I've never had sex. So the burden of proof is on them. Sometime after she made that statement, they have to show us, when did Mary have sex with Joseph? And you don't read that anywhere. So they're lying. They're just saying, yes, they did. They don't believe the narrative. But they try to pretend like you don't understand it. No, I understand it. You just don't believe what you're reading. I hate when people do that. People don't believe what the Bible says, and they try to attack you and be like, you just don't understand. No, I understand. You just don't believe. That's all it boils down to. You don't believe what's written. And you're trying to flip it on me and make it seem like I don't understand. These one-way Hebrew don't believe what they're reading. That's why if you look at all the reasoning that they give, you know, outside of the scripture, just the plain reason they give, it's all some carnal stuff. One guy online asked me, man, what kind of man would let Mary off the hook like that? He's supposed to be mad. So you going to tell Joseph how he's supposed to be? Everybody's supposed to react to something the same way you do? I ain't gonna lie, I would get mad if I thought Mary stepped out on me. But not every man would respond the way I do. They all got some kind of carnal explanation in there. They all got to insert their feelings in it. They go that feelings over faith that they messing up with. How they feel. How you feel ain't got nothing to do with what the narrative say, bro. The narrative say that he wanted to put her away privately because he wanted to spare her public shame. That's what it says. You cannot make you can't fathom a man being that merciful to a woman he think messed around on him. So it can't possibly mean that. And that's how they come at me. You all in your feelings, dude. You are reading your feelings into the narrative instead of letting the narrative tell you how to feel. That's the problem. And we keep dealing with these same people who are disguising themselves as true believers seeking truth. No, you are seeking confirmation of how you feel. You're doing the same thing the homosexuals do. They're going somewhere that's going to validate them being homosexual. They're not going to go to no church saying, no, that's a sin. Homosexuals go to hell. They're going to go somewhere where the pastor tell them, come as you are and pretty much stay as you are. That's what they're doing. It's Luke chapter 1, 34 to 38. Y'all got a lot of manly men in their feelings when it comes to this word. Just because you tough, just because you'll knock somebody out, just because you cry, you never show any kind of emotional weakness does not mean you are not emotionally weak. I am a psychologist. That is not the only way you are emotionally weak. You can talk to any hardened soldier. Talk to a hardened soldier that suffered from PTSD. See what that mental trauma have done to him and made him weak like that. But I bet if you try to fight a one-on-one, he'll snatch your thyroid out your throat.
Sure indeed.
But he's still emotionally probably never cried. But he's still emotionally weak because he's mentally weak. But this is Luke chapter 1. And they're probably laughing, Jill, because they're trying to play mind games with a psychologist. You can't play mind games with me. You cannot do that. I see through all of that stuff. That's like trying to play mind games with Professor X. You know, from the X-Men? You can't play mind games with him. He can read your mind. He can control your mind. Luke chapter 1, 34 to 38. Read that, please.
Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?
So she said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How am I going to have a child, seeing I know not a man? And you're going to be able to tell this is what she was mainly focused on, based on what the angel Gabriel is going to tell her next. Watch what he says. Go ahead and read.
Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
It don't say that about how John the Baptist was born. It doesn't say that. The angel Gabriel did not tell Zechariah that the Holy Ghost shall come upon Elizabeth and the power of the highest shall overshadow her. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born in her shall be called the Son of God. John the Baptist's conception was not described that way. So why is Pizarioth and other One West Hebrews telling you it's the same thing that happened with John the Baptist? It said the Holy Ghost shall come upon Mary. Jeff, did it say the Holy Ghost shall come upon Jesus? Did it say the Holy Ghost shall be upon Mary's child from the womb? Did it say that?
No.
It's telling you. She asked, how can I have a baby seeing I am a virgin? This lets you know that the angel Gabriel was telling her this stuff was going to happen without a man. Otherwise, why would she even bring up sex in the first place? That's common sense, unless she don't know where babies come from. And if she didn't know where babies come from, guess what the angel Gabriel would have done? He would have explained it to her. He would have said something like, you will lie with your husband and you will conceive. You will conceive. The question itself shows you that this woman understood that this angel was telling her, you're going to have a baby without a man. That's why she said, how is that possible? I've never had a man. So he's telling her it's through the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God. In layman's terms, y'all, God gonna make it happen. That's all the angel gave. That's how God explains his miracles. He don't give us no scientific explanation. He said, like, I made it happen. How did God create man? You know, he formed him from the dust of the ground. But I can go out right now and shape a man with clay. I can do that. He ain't gonna get up and start walking and breathing and thinking on his own.
Right. He actually dumbed it down for us, and people still don't understand.
Exactly. So when you ask how did God do something supernatural, the Bible has always been because he God. That's how he's able to do it. They can't think beyond that. How can a woman have a baby without a man? No, no. Joseph had to have sex. See, you can't think beyond the carnal. Y'all carnal. And this is how I learned from these camps, how to be even more carnal. They ain't just stripping Jesus of his divinity. They stripping y'all too. That's why you can't understand how God can make a woman pregnant without a man. But you believe he created this whole planet we walking around on. You believe he split the Red Sea. You believe he made elderly women who were far past childbearing age still be able to get pregnant. You can believe all of that, but you can't believe he can just use one gender to bring a baby in this world. Y'all had like, I say this all the time, Jeff, they had like God ran out of power by the time he got to the New Testament. he was on E by the time he got to the New Testament. Even though they just read in Luke chapter 1 that John the Baptist had a supernatural birth. He was born under unusual circumstances. Wasn't a virgin birth, but it was supernatural. If a woman is barren, that means she can't have kids. That means something wrong. That means God miraculously fixed that, but he doubled down on it. He did not only miraculously fix what stopped her from having children in the first place, he also miraculously fixed the natural stopping of women having children. So that was a double miracle when you think about John the Baptist. Because he decided to make Elizabeth have kids even when regular women stopped having kids for normal reasons. But it's not what happened with Jesus. It's not even described the same way. See, that's what be killing me, Jeff. It's not even described the same way. So how is it the same? It doesn't say Jesus would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. It don't say that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, that it came upon Mary. And as we continue reading, we're going to show you that, you know, it's 2, 4, 6 people involved in this lesson we're talking about. It's John, we're going to start with the parents. It's Zachariah and Elizabeth. That's 2. Then it's Mary and Joseph. That's 4. And then it's John the Baptist and Jesus. That's 6. And out of the 6 of them in this conception narrative, in these conception narratives, only 5 of them got the Holy Ghost. And the one standing out who didn't get it was Jesus. And I'm going to show you that. We just read that the Holy Ghost is going to come upon Mary, so that means she had the Holy Ghost, right? But where'd you stop at?
36.
Okay, continue, please.
Luke chapter 1, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren.
See, do you notice what he said right here? He said, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son of the Holy Ghost. Do it say that? It don't say that, does it?
No.
What part of her birth, of her conception, is the angel emphasizing that makes her conception special? He said, who was called barren. So the 2 words that y'all need to focus on with Elizabeth and Mary are barren and virgin, respectively. Barren, John the Baptist. Virgin Jesus. And under normal circumstances, a woman cannot have kids if she's a virgin that's never had sex or have been inseminated. And under normal circumstances, a woman who is barren, some people say also infertile or sterile, she can't have kids. So John the Baptist did not have a virgin birth, he had a barren birth. A barren birth is different from a virgin birth. What these guys are trying to tell y'all is that a barren birth is the same as a virgin birth. That is stupid.
That's the class right there.
Exactly. That is stupid. And in a lot of ways, those two words are opposite of each other. Let me use them in a sentence to prove it to you, Jeff. If you go to a new land and say, this is a virgin land, what does it mean? Never been touched. Never been tilled. But if I say, this is a barren land, I mean, it's been stripped and used up or never had anything to begin with. So in some senses, these words are the very opposite of each other. We don't even understand simple words. But so far, we know that Mary has claimed she's never had sex. So either they try to say, well, this happened sometime after that. Can somebody please show me at what point Joseph finally had sex with Mary to give birth to Jesus? You got to show sometime after this. You can't make it happen before this unless you're saying Mary lied to the angel. So you can't make it happen before that unless you're saying Mary was lying. And if you say, well, it had to happen sometime after that, fine. Take me in Luke after verse 34 and show me at what point, and you can go all the way to chapter 1, chapter 2, show me at some point before Jesus was born where it says Joseph laid with Mary or Joseph knew Mary sexually. Show me that. If you cannot show that, then that's that deleted scenes doctrine. I don't believe in the deleted scenes doctrine. They got the director's cut doctrine. Y'all know director's cut? See, we got the theatrical release. They got the director's cut. You know, with the extras and deleted scenes and stuff. And get mad at us because we can't see the deleted scenes. And then they're telling us, imagine this, Jeff. Imagine you saw a movie. At the movies, right? So you saw the movie The Matrix. He said, man, that was a good movie, man. You know, I love that movie. You remember the scene right here? And then you come to me, Jeff, and I'd be like, yeah, man, but I got it on Blu-ray DVD, and they got all these deleted scenes, man. You know, at one point, they won't let Neo stay dead and all that. You're like, oh, man, for real, man? Hey, let me come over to your house, man, and watch them deleted scenes with you one day, Josh, or let me borrow that DVD so I can watch them deleted scenes. You come out, nah, I can't show you that, bro. But there are deleted scenes, though. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And you dummies are going for it. That's a deleted scene. If Joseph had sex with Mary, can we all agree that's a deleted scene? Y'all tell me what I'm saying, because it ain't in there. It had to happen between this time period and her getting pregnant, don't it? Can anybody do everybody agree that if they're making that claim, that's a deleted scene on the stage? Anybody?
That's right.
That's a deleted scene. Show it to me. Let me borrow that DVD so I can check out them extras. Right? But keep reading, Jeff. Stop the cap, y'all. Stop it. Y'all know that ain't in there. And you ain't gonna ever convince me that something in the Bible happened that the Bible don't say happened or even implies it happened. I'm not going to ever believe that. Go ahead and read.
Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible.
For with God, nothing shall be impossible. A barren birth or a virgin birth. That's what the angel Gabriel is talking about. Nothing shall be impossible. And also, you know, all the stuff that said Jesus was going to do. But go ahead and read.
Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
In other words, Mary said, hey, whatever you said, may it happen. Whatever happened to me, may it happen. So did she believe the angel? Yep. Did she believe him? Go ahead and read it again. Read it again. No, I mean read it in verse 38. Read it again.
And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. It be it unto me according to thy word.
What does be it unto me according to your word means? That means she's telling the angel Gabriel, whatever you say is going to happen to me, may it happen exactly like that. So did she believe him then?
Yes.
So she believed him, right?
Yes.
And she didn't disbelieve him earlier. She was just wondering how is that going to be possible. That's why he said with God, anything is possible. Now, why am I pointing this out to you, Jeff? What I want you to do, still in Luke chapter 1, we're just going back and forth and comparing their conceptions. G- Jesus and John the Baptist. Go to verse 15. We're going to read 15 to 20.
Luke chapter 1, verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb.
This is talking about John the Baptist. This is not how it describes what Jesus is going to do or how he was conceived. Why are they telling you this is the same thing? These are not the same thing. Why are they telling you that? Because what they're trying to do is make Jesus a regular man. That's what they're trying to do. But continue reading.
Verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
This is all the stuff he's saying John the Baptist is going to do. Now, Zechariah has a question for the angel, just like Mary had a question. Mary's question was, how shall these things be, seeing I've never had sex with a man? Let's see what Zechariah's question going to be. He, like I'm saying, the circumstances are similar, but not the same. Go ahead and read.
Verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know thee? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years.
Doesn't that sound similar to the question that Mary asked? He said, whereby shall I know this? That's the same thing as, how shall these things be? Right? For I am an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. Seeing my wife is past childbearing years. Seeing I know not a man. Both of them are asking, how can something that's impossible happen concerning the conception of a baby? But y'all going to see something different that the angel Gabriel did to Zechariah that he didn't do to Mary. Because Mary said, hey, whatever you say is going to happen to me, may it happen exactly like that. Watch what happens. Go ahead and read.
Verse 15.
No. I think you all went a little too far back. You're in verse 19.
Okay, cool. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings.
Just like it said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, that he was sent to Mary. Right? But watch what else he says. Go ahead and read.
Verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
So now we're seeing another key difference, Jeff. Zechariah did not believe Gabriel, but Mary did. How can we tell? Because he said, I'm going to make you dumb, meaning unable to speak, until the stuff I said is going to happen concerning your son is fulfilled. You know, him being born is fulfilled. See, that's a difference. See, the stories are similar. I'm showing y'all the similarities and the differences. So now we see another opposite. Angel came to a man in one situation. Angel came to a woman in another one. Angel came to a man to tell him something, and he didn't believe it. Angel came to a woman to tell her something, and she did believe it. No one West Hebrew will deny that they can see these differences. But when it comes to the key difference, they want to try to make that the same. Now all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost coming upon Mary to make her conceive Jesus means the same thing as John the Baptist having the Holy Spirit from the womb. Y'all see how stupid that is? Y'all see the kind of games they playing with y'all? This stuff is different. The Holy Ghost is mentioned in both narratives, but in one narrative, the Holy Spirit comes upon the baby. In the other narrative, the Holy Spirit comes upon the mother, enabling her to conceive the baby. Those are two different things entirely. But all they know is they see a baby, and they read Holy Ghost. Oh, it's the same thing. But what I'm trying to figure out is, why are they trying to make Jesus match John the Baptist and not John the Baptist match Jesus? See, that's the real question. Because they're saying they're the same, then why aren't you saying that John the Baptist was conceived of the Holy Ghost? Or why aren't you saying that the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth and that's how John the Baptist was born, and then trying to explain away what that means? Y'all notice that they're downgrading Jesus instead of upgrading John the Baptist? That's what they're doing. But watch this. Skip down, Jeff, and we're going to read verses 24 to 25. We're going to read other stuff Jesus is going to do and what John the Baptist is going to do. Read that, please.
Luke chapter 1, verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months.
Hold up. Whoa. You know I got to point this out. And this right here, this is especially for Dre and Trilla. Let me make sure they can respond before I break it down. Dre and Trilla, are y'all there? Y'all, can y'all come off y'all mic? Either one of y'all. Okay, they might be tied up. Okay. Because I want to really hear this.
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, Dre, look what this says. And after those days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived, and after she got pregnant, and hid herself 5 months. Dre, who do the one where Hebrews say was hidden? Dre, who do they say?
Mayor.
Do y'all believe me now when I tell you they're trying to force John the Baptist's narrative on Jesus? Is that not proof? They claim that Joseph hid Mary away. That's not who it says which one of the women, the mothers, were hidden away. It says Elizabeth was the one that was hidden away. Don't y'all find it odd that they teach that when it says Joseph was minded to put away Mary, that means he was trying to hide her? Do y'all think it's a coincidence that they're telling you what happened with Jesus is the same thing that happened with John the Baptist, even down to their mothers having to be hid or hiding somewhere? All they're doing, y'all, is taking John the Baptist's narrative and putting it on Jesus, even to the point where it talks about a mother being hid somewhere. Only thing they changed is who made her hide? Because she hid herself. And watch why it says why she hid. Go ahead and read. Y'all think I be making this stuff up? You cannot deny it. Can anybody on this stage see that it says that Elizabeth is the mother that hid? Can anybody see that? Everybody see that?
Yeah.
Right? Now watch what else it says. Why she did it. Why did she do it? Go ahead and read.
Verse 25. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men.
So she's saying that the Lord dealt with her this way to take away her reproach from among men. In other words, so men wouldn't be saying bad stuff about her. That's why she was hiding. But she said this in the context of her becoming pregnant. But they tell you that's the reason why Joseph hid Mary, to take away her reproach from among men. Y'all trying to tell me this ain't orchestrated? Y'all trying to tell me somebody didn't sit up here in one of these One West camps and read John the Baptist's story and put it on Jesus? Even down to the mother hiding after the conception and saying it was done to take away her reproach. I mean, shame, by the way, y'all. That's exactly what they teach. And y'all want to know something else that's even scarier? Oh my God, y'all gonna think I'm making it up, but you can look it up. If you think I'm making it up, look it up. But if you go and look up and Google something called the Gospel of Barnabas, not the Epistle of Barnabas, not to be confused with that one, the Gospel of Barnabas. It is a fake gospel written by Muslims. It was written by Muslims. It was written by Muslims like in like the 14th century or something. And they try to pass it off as a true gospel. Now, what's significant about the gospel of Barnabas is that it reads just like the New Testament gospels, but it has Jesus constantly denying that he's the Messiah. And when the disciples asked him who the Messiah would be, they have Jesus saying Muhammad would be the Messiah, which is weird because even the Quran doesn't say that Muhammad is the Messiah and says that Jesus is. But why am I bringing up this gospel? Because to make this work, what they do is they give all of the messianic attributes of Jesus in the gospels to Muhammad. But guess whose attributes they give to Jesus, Dre? What do you think? Dre? Jeff?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. John the Baptist is exactly what they do. They make John, they give all the attributes. They make Muhammad Jesus, and they make Jesus John the Baptist. The One West Hebrews have come along hundreds of years later and are doing the same thing. They are taking the attributes of John the Baptist and putting them on Jesus, even though John the Baptist himself said Jesus is greater than him. Somebody in one of these One West camps read the narrative of John the Baptist and on purpose said, we're going to put this on Jesus because we don't believe what's written in the scriptures. When Joseph was minded to put away Mary, they said, we're going to rewrite that to mean he tried to hide Mary somewhere. I used to think they just made that up. Nope. You go read about Elizabeth. She hid right after the conception. And then it even tells you why she hid. Why did Captain say Joseph tried to hide Mary? Because, you know, they were ashamed and they didn't want nobody to know that they jumped the gun and got her pregnant before the wedding ceremony. In other words, to avoid her shame and his own shame. Go right over to John the John the Baptist's mother Elizabeth and why she hid. This is not a coincidence, y'all. They're trying to make Jesus John the Baptist. So the real question is that I want to ask y'all, in the Gospel of Barnabas, we know why they made Jesus John the Baptist, because they were trying to make Muhammad the Messiah. So why are the One West Hebrews trying to make Jesus John the Baptist? That means they got somebody who they trying to make the Messiah. I'm just saying. But where'd you stop at? Yeah, where'd you stop at?
That was it, was it 20?
Yeah, verse 20. Okay, yeah. I told you, skip down. You had read 24 and 25. Okay, skip down and read verse 36.
Okay. Luke chapter 1, verse 36. And behold, my cousin Elizabeth.
Oh, my bad. Hold on, my bad. Hold on, my bad. You already had read that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and I had to go back to verse 25. Yeah, read verse, let's see, where I go back, because I had this written twice to make sure I can hear with you. Okay, yeah, read verse 36. Read that, please. Yeah, read that again.
Read it again.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 36. And behold, my cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren.
So this is the sixth month with her, so she 6 months pregnant, right? So that means Jesus is 6 months younger than John the Baptist, right? So they're about the same. They're around the same age. You follow what I'm saying? Now this is what I want you to do, because it said conceived, right? It says she conceived a son. That's what it says about Elizabeth. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Y'all don't understand. Y'all do not understand how deep this stuff is as far as, like, why these guys are trying to make y'all believe that Jesus was just born normally. They just go run to John the Baptist. That's exactly what is done in the Gospel of Barnabas. It's the same thing. I'm going to have to do a documentary on that, y'all. I ain't even playing. Showing y'all that's all they're doing. And it wouldn't be the first time the One West Hebrews have ripped off the Muslims. Y'all know they ripped off the Nation of Islam with this white man, this the devil stuff. That's where they got that from. White man is the devil. That's what the Nation of Islam. So, you know, this ain't the first time they've been in the Muslims' bag. Now they ripping off the whole John the Baptist thing. Trying to make Jesus John the Baptist. So they can be the Messiah, their leader. You got to diminish Jesus first. That's the plan. We got to make him normal. Because if he's normal, then that means I can reason that my leader or my elder or my captain or my general could be better. That's why they got to take all this stuff away from them. Right? And y'all fall for it. Still ain't read where it says that Joseph went into Mary, laid with Mary, or lied with Mary. It don't say he knew Mary sexually to have Jesus. It don't say any of that. So they just run to John the Baptist, and they brainwash you. And when you read about the narrative of the conception of Jesus, they have brainwashed you and programmed to think of the conception concerning John the Baptist. They even ripped off the story of the mother hiding somewhere. That's crazy. And even the reason why she was hiding. Just saying. I'm sad, man. I can't believe it, man. This is Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 20. Now we're reading about Joseph finally getting involved. Right? Go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
She was found with child of Joseph. Does it say that?
No.
It says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Found with child means pregnant or impregnated. So this is saying she was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't even know what found with child means? Yeah, we know what that means, right? That means she was pregnant. So it says found with child or impregnated. Of, meaning from, the Holy Ghost. Plainly telling you that right now. But you know what they'll do, Jeff? They'll say, now the birth of Jesus Christ is on his wife. And his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together. They try to say that before they came together, meaning they had sex. Now let me get this straight. You read a verse that learned, now this is make before they came together mean whatever you want it to mean. Some of them say before they came to the wedding chamber. Okay, I can accept that. I've heard some of them say before they started living together as husband and wife. I will also accept that. But what I will not accept is before they came to the wedding chamber or before they were living together as husband and wife an indication that they had sex. That is stupid. All this says is before they came together. How do before a man and a woman come together in any sense mean they had sex? These people are idiots. I don't care what you think before they came together means. I'm not going to let you make me try to believe before they came together means somewhere in there that mean they did. It don't say before they came together to live as husband and wife or the marriage ceremony or the marriage chamber, they had sex. No, it said before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I need to read this where it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together as husband and wife, they had sex. Before they got to the marriage chamber, they had sex. Before the wedding ceremony, they had sex. You cannot put the they had sex in there. They see the, before they came together, they had, no, no, delete the scene. They had sex behind that. And then they just completely ignore the other part about found with child of the Holy Ghost. Or they'll say, found with child of the Holy Ghost is the same thing that happened to John the Baptist. This ain't the same thing. One says the mother was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The other says a child born to a mother would have the Holy Ghost from the womb. How is that the same thing? You people are idiots. There's no nice way to say it. You're morons. You can't read. You're illiterate. There's no nice way to tell you that. You mean to tell me you don't know the difference between a child having something from the womb versus a mother of a child getting something? You don't know the difference between those two? You don't know the difference between you being born with a talent versus your mama having a being given a talent? You don't know the difference between you and your mama getting something? That's beyond dumb. That's really beyond dumb, Jeff. I come to you, Jeff, right now and say, yo, man, Jeff, you know, before you were born, man, you know, your mama was given the Holy Spirit. Okay, but your auntie, you know, she gave birth to your cousin, and the same thing that God gave your mama before you were born, your cousin had it from the womb. So the comparison is really between your cousin and your mama. The comparison is between Mary and John the Baptist, because they are the ones who are said to have the Holy Ghost. Those of you supposed to be comparing, Jesus is not said to have the Holy Ghost from the womb. You are supposed to compare John the Baptist to anybody it says has the Holy Ghost around the conception period. And you have to show that the conception caused the pregnancy. But keep reading, verse 19. Go ahead.
Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily.
And we dealt with this last week. We looked it up in the Greek. We went to other translations. We went to history. We went to the Old Testament. We went to the Apocrypha. We showed that in every incident, when it talks about a man putting away his wife, it 110% always means ending the marriage or the engagement. It never meant him hiding her. But now we know where they got that little hiding her from, don't we, Jeff? They hijacked that from Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the one who hid. They sound like somebody, you ever talk to somebody about the Bible before, Jeff, and they be confusing biblical figures? And you be like, no, that wasn't Moses who did that. That was Joshua.
Right. I've seen that done before.
Right. That's how the One West Hebrews sound to me when they trying to explain what happened with Jesus. They just, it's like, no, bro, you thinking about John the Baptist. That's how they sound. That's John the Baptist you thinking about, brother. That's not Jesus. Yes, it is. Y'all confusing two figures. No. John the Baptist was not conceived of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist was said to have the Holy Ghost from the womb. Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost. I can understand if you're just old and getting some biblical figures confused. Sometimes you ain't got to be old. Sometimes you be thinking of one person. Like, you throw me a quiz, like, who did this, Elijah or Elisha? I'm going to fail that thing, Jeff. You feel me? I'm going to fail that because they did similar things and they knew each other. And one was the forerunner to the other, you know?
Right.
But once you show me, nah, it was actually Elisha who did this. I'm not going to try to steal it since, nah, Elijah did it. That's what they do.
I have that same thing with Ahab and Ahaz.
Yeah, them too,
yeah.
Right, but once we sit down and read who did what, the argument's supposed to stop. You show them, no, that's not Jesus, that's John the Baptist. They say, no, that's the same thing that happened with you. No, it's not even worded the same way. Right? But read verse 20 and watch what it says.
Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife.
Now, I want y'all to pay attention to this, because I didn't emphasize this last week, because we weren't talking about this last week. Now, the angel is about to tell Joseph why he should not be afraid to marry Mary. I want y'all to pay close attention to this because the narrative lets us know Joseph was afraid to marry Mary. The one West Hebrews will tell you he was afraid to marry her because, you know, he slept with her before the wedding ceremony and he was embarrassed and all that. The reason why I'm pointing this out is because the narrative itself is about to tell you why Joseph was afraid. So the narrative tells you why Joseph was afraid. Why are we listening to these idiots and they're telling us something else? Why are we doing that, Jeff? Why are y'all doing that? If the narrative tells you why somebody was afraid in the Bible to do something, how y'all gonna let me come along and say, no, that's not why he was afraid, and make up a whole different reason? Now watch what he says. Read that again from the beginning, please.
Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because, hold on. For that means because. Now he's telling you why you should not be afraid. Because what? Go ahead.
For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
For that which is conceived in her. Conceived means what impregnated her. This baby that she conceived is from the Holy Ghost. That's the reason the angel Gabriel gave Joseph not to be afraid to marry Mary. Meaning, the reason he was afraid to marry Mary is because he did not think that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. He thought that which was conceived in her was of another man. That's why it tells you twice, verse 18 and verse 20. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost impregnated Mary. And it wasn't through no sex either. Get your minds out the gutter, carnal Hebrews. If it says that the Holy Ghost made something happen, whether it's sex or just flying through the air without any wings, that just means it's done by the power of God. It's a miracle. That's all that means. They so carnal, I just can't see how a woman can get a baby without a man, but you can see how all the creation can get here without any sex at all. What is wrong with y'all, man? Seriously. Y'all don't believe in miracles? They don't. They go to the book of Revelation. They talk about God making fire rain down them. No, man, that's about nuclear missiles. Why y'all always got the dumb stuff down and strip it of its divinity? Y'all always do that. No, ain't no actual hell. Y'all know hell, even though it's a bad place, that's still a supernatural place. It's not a physical place. It's a supernatural place. No, hell is just, it's just a metaphor. It's a condition. I keep telling y'all, one West Hebrews ain't nothing but a stone's throw away from being unbelievers. Because every time you turn around, they try to strip something up in divinity. I heard IUIC say the Holy Spirit itself, that's the laws of God. The laws of God are not the Holy Spirit. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they're not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
They just be saying stuff. We need to stop all of this. This is not the same thing, though. Zechariah was not told that John the Baptist was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was not trying to hide Mary. No, that's what Amenza did. That's the wife that I hid, not Mary. Y'all getting y'all figures mixed up. See, Joseph was trying to hide Mary so because, you know, she was going to be embarrassed. In other words, he was hiding Mary to take away her reproach, right? Yeah, you can say that. That's what it said about Elizabeth, fool. It don't say that about Mary. Y'all need to stop the games. I don't figure y'all out. All y'all do is take John the Baptist's narrative and force it on Jesus. That's all y'all do. That's all y'all do. And then they tell you that John the Baptist was Elijah reincarnated. So if John the Baptist is Elijah reincarnated, Jeff, I wonder who's the Messiah reincarnated.
Good question.
Because you believe in reincarnation. You believe Jesus was just a regular man. So if he died, that means he got to reincarnate as somebody too. See, y'all don't even think about this type of stuff. What type of doors are open when you believe in God? Well, let's move on. Let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 1. Y'all don't be thinking about this stuff, man. Y'all don't be thinking about how these guys running game on y'all. But I don't even blame them. You know what I'm saying? God's going to turn you right over to what you want. You want deception. You want all that crap. That's what you get. A lot of y'all like the one West counts because you like being wicked. I can't debate you on that. That's what you want to do. I can't talk you out of being wicked if that's what you want to do. Y'all like that stuff. That's why y'all going to perish with them if you don't repent. But don't sit up here and try to make us think something wrong with us because we can't see that Jesus and John the Baptist were born the same way. No, we can see they were not born the same way. There's a lot of differences there. You follow what I'm saying? A lot of differences there. You won't try to do that to me. Luke chapter 1, 39 to 43, and then we're going to skip. Go ahead, please.
Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of...
So we already see that, you know, Mary already got the Holy Ghost. That's how Jesus was born. So she had the Holy Ghost, right? Now watch what it says. Go ahead.
Verse 40. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
So when it says the babe leaped in her womb, that's talking about John the Baptist. He's 6 months pregnant. In other words, he moved. You follow what I'm saying? Or some people might say he kicked, but he moved. Then it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So the first time we read about Elizabeth getting the Holy Ghost, she already 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. So you can't say that John the Baptist was conceived of the Holy Ghost because she's already 6 months pregnant when she first gets the Holy Ghost. Do everybody, you understand that, Jeff? Is that hard?
No, not at all.
Right? This is the first time you read about Elizabeth getting the Holy Ghost. So far, how many people have we read about having the Holy Ghost? Mary got the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist got the Holy Ghost. It says he's going to have it from his mother's womb. And now we're reading about Elizabeth. Continue, please.
Verse 42. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.
So she's telling Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, meaning blessed is the baby you're going to give birth to. Right? Read verse 43.
Verse 43. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me?
She said, whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? She's referring to Mary as the mother of her Lord. Meaning the mother of Jesus. John the Baptist was never described in that manner. And she said this while pregnant with John the Baptist. And at this point, Mary is pregnant too. So they're both pregnant. That's why she said to Mary, blessed is the fruit of your womb. You don't say that to somebody unless you know they about to have a baby sometime in the near future or they just got pregnant. That's why she said that. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Joseph is nowhere around, and she hasn't had sex with Joseph. So why in the world is Elizabeth saying to her, Jeff, blessed is the fruit of your womb? How did Elizabeth even know she was pregnant to say that?
That doesn't make any sense. Why is she referring to Mary as the mother of her Lord? That means she asked, that means Mary told her, guess what? I'm pregnant with our Lord and Savior. So she was already pregnant. You can tell by the language. She didn't say the future mother of our Lord. She described that in present tense. And went to this, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me. You can't read Mary being described in that manner until after she had that conversation with Gabriel. Meaning she probably got pregnant as soon as Gabriel left. But by the time she came to Elizabeth, Elizabeth is addressing this woman as if she's pregnant. That's why she's calling her the mother of my Lord, and she's saying, blessed be the fruit of your womb. Why is she even saying all that stuff like that? Why is she talking to this woman like she's carrying, like she's expecting? Because she was, y'all. Mary's already pregnant. She's visiting her cousin. So where's Joseph at? So by the time you get to what you read about in Matthew chapter 1 and 18, Mary was already pregnant. She got pregnant here, then, sometime in this time frame, before she even got back to Joseph. She went to go visit her cousin and came back pregnant. How does that sound, y'all? That ain't ever happened? Your wife step out on you, I'm going to go visit some family. And then she come back pregnant. What are you going to think, man? You don't went out there claiming you going to visit your cousin. You don't went out there and slept with somebody. And now you don't came back pregnant. See what happened when you start connecting the dots? That's all that was going on. Right? But skip down, Jeff, if you will, and read verses 57 and 58, because then we're going to read something else. Now Elizabeth is about to give birth to her son, right? So this is around about 3 months later, because y'all know a pregnancy is about 9 months. Go ahead.
Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son.
Mm-hmm.
And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her.
Just like it said, just like the angel told Zechariah, that's what's going to be happening. It said they're going to rejoice at the birth of John the Baptist. Go ahead and read.
Verse 59.
Hold on. You stop that verse. Hold on. That's good. Skip down and read verses 64 to 71.
Luke chapter 1, verse 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God.
Now, this is talking about now Zechariah can speak again, because remember Gabriel punish him for his unbelief by making him unable to speak until John the Baptist is born. So now that John the Baptist has been born, now Zechariah can speak again. Now watch what it says happen. Go ahead and read.
Verse 65. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea.
Mm-hmm.
And all they that heard him laid up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him.
Right, so they saw this, you know, Zechariah being able to speak again as a sign of how great John the Baptist would be. But go ahead and read.
Verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying.
So wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. So why is it that Luke can plainly tell us Mary got the Holy Ghost? He can plainly tell us Elizabeth got the Holy Ghost? He can plainly tell us John the Baptist got the Holy Ghost from the womb? But somehow it don't say nothing like this about Jesus concerning his conception. But the one where Hebrews wants you to believe that when it says Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost, or that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, that means the baby had the Holy Ghost. No, it doesn't. It means the baby was caused or came from the Holy Ghost. There's a difference between the Holy Ghost causing something to happen versus you being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a difference. The way you you describe being filled with the Holy Ghost is saying the Holy Ghost came upon you or you were filled with it, none of which is said about Jesus during the conception. You can't read anywhere about Jesus being a baby or during the conception, having the Holy Ghost come upon him or being filled with the Holy Ghost. You can only read that about these five individuals. Zacharias, Elizabeth, these four individuals, because you can't even count Joseph because they don't say Joseph did that. So Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, and John the Baptist. Concerning the conception period. You can only read about that and after they were born. So why are y'all trying to make this be the same thing as what would happen with John the Baptist? It is not. Y'all are just being deceitful. Y'all are trying to confuse people and trick people by making them think Jesus and John the Baptist had the same kind of conception. That's just so evil when you really just get down and think about it, Jeff. That's evil. But go ahead and read.
Verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people,
mm-hmm.
and hath raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
Mm-hmm. The horn of salvation, that's about the Messiah, right? As Zechariah is prophesizing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he's going to talk about things that concerning Jesus and concerning John the Baptist. Right now he's talking about the Messiah. Go ahead and read.
Verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began,
mm-hmm.
that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
Now skip down. He's going to start talking about John the Baptist, right? So Jesus is described as somebody that's going to save the people of Israel. Elizabeth described him as the mother, described Mary as the mother of her Lord. And it said, blessed be the fruit of your womb, meaning she knew Mary was pregnant. She knew that. Right? Go ahead and read. Verses 76 to 80. Mm-hmm.
72.
Oh, no, skip down and read verses 76 to 80, please.
Got it. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to
mm-hmm.
give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins,
mm-hmm.
through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
All of this is talking about what John the Baptist would do. Now read the last part. Watch what it says.
Verse 8. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel.
And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. He shall go forth in the spirit of Elijah. And was in the desert to the days of his showing unto Israel. Up to this point, have we read anything about Joseph having sex with Mary? Have we?
No, not one.
We're walking this thing all the way through. Now, when you get to chapter 2, this is Joseph and Mary being together again, meaning she done went back home. And they're coming up there to be taxed. And it's telling you that now she had the baby. It tells you she eventually had the baby. Right? Go right over into chapter 2 and read verse 6 and 7. And we got one more after that. Read that.
Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
Talking about Mary, why they were there. I mean, it was because they had went up to be taxed. There was a census. And they went up there to be taxed. But go ahead and read.
Verse 7. And she brought forth her first. firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now, wait a minute. We read about Mary being told by the angel Gabriel that she was going to have a child from the power of the Holy Spirit, right? By the time she gets to Elizabeth, Elizabeth is addressing her like she's already pregnant. That's why she said, the mother of my Lord came to me. The expecting mother, right? She also said, blessed be the fruit of your womb. That's the type of stuff you say to somebody who's pregnant or who's about to give birth. You follow what I'm saying? Or just gave birth. That's the type of language you use there. Next thing you know, she's back with Joseph, and she has her baby. What time, I need somebody to show me, at what point between Luke chapter 1 and 34 and Luke chapter 2 and verse 7 did Mary and Joseph have sex? Because it doesn't say they did. At what point does it say that? Then we go over to Matthew chapter 1. We still don't read anything about Joseph touching this woman, but she's already pregnant. But they're doing this, and they're getting away with this because they're lying to you and making you think John the Baptist and Jesus had the exact same conception. But when you walk it down, you can see the differences and the similarities, and you can see Mary got pregnant after Gabriel told her, you're going to be pregnant. And by the time she went to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth already knew it. That's why she greeted her like that. How did she know all of that? Did Mary tell her, or did the Holy Spirit tell her? You can't be playing these kind of games and try to act like you don't know. They know what's going on. But let's go to the last place. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. This is the last one. They know they need to stop this. They were not conceived the same way, and I challenge anybody to show me that. Show me that conceives Mary conceiving of the Holy Ghost means the same thing as John the Baptist having the Holy Ghost from the womb. Conceiving of the Holy Ghost, Jeff, according to them, is the same thing as having the Holy Ghost from the womb. And these guys are going to teach me. These guys think I need to sit down and listen to them. I need to be at their feet. You don't even know the difference between conceiving of something versus having something from the womb or before you're even born. This doesn't make any sense. You make Mary a liar. If Mary had sex with Joseph before the angel Gabriel came to her, then she was lying when she said she never knew a man. If she had sex with Joseph to have Jesus sometime after that, then how come we read through the narrative after that, all we read about is Mary just kicking it with her family. She's not with Joseph. So she had to get pregnant, according to them, sometime between chapter 2 of Luke, verse 1, up to the time that she had the baby. But it doesn't say that. The way the narrative reads, they just got called somewhere, and then she get up there, and she already pregnant. You follow what I'm saying? That's kind of thrown off. It doesn't mention that because that's not what happened. She got pregnant when the angel Gabriel told her what was going to happen, and she understood exactly what he was saying. That's why she said, how this thing going to happen, and I ain't never had sex. He's going to tell her, Joseph, you got a fiance. He's going to sleep with you, and that's how it's going to happen. No, he's talking about the Holy Spirit and all of that. And I don't think some camps just try to make the Holy Spirit mean Joseph.
Wow.
I'm not even playing. So Joseph came upon Jesus, which we're about to read now. Whatever. Matthew chapter 3, this is the last one. You'll get a headache trying to figure out how stupid these guys are sometimes. But they want to hold on to a doctrine. I ain't never met some people so stubborn before in my life. Matthew chapter 3, 13 to 17. They won't like talking to them guys because they don't know how to reason. Y'all ever seen some of those Facebook and YouTube videos? They be for jokes, where you got like an adult arguing back and forth with a child, and they be arguing with the child, making them mad and stuff. It's a lot of those Facebook and YouTube videos. Check them out if you ever get an opportunity. And the adult is playing with the child, but the child, they're serious mad. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel like I'm arguing with a child, but I don't enjoy it. I don't be playing with them. But Matthew chapter 3, 13 and 17. This is the last one. Go ahead, please.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him.
So Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan, the river Jordan to be specific, to be baptized by John. Now watch what it says happened.
Verse 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me.
John didn't want to do it. John like, I'm not going to baptize you. I need to be baptized by you, but you coming to me to get baptized? Clearly John is seeing that Jesus was better than him. I'm trying to see, according to the one with Hebrews, how. Y'all saying they were born the same? Y'all saying they both had earthly fathers? I guess just because he's the Messiah. I guess they'll just say that because he was the Messiah. I guess. But we see it's more to it than that. But go ahead and read.
Verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened up unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
This is when Jesus got the Holy Ghost. And Luke chapter 30 lets you know, or not 30, but chapter 3 lets you know he was around 30 years old. So that means he's at least 30 and a half plus years behind John the Baptist on who had the Holy Ghost first. Because John the Baptist had it from the womb. And he was born 6 months before Jesus. So that's 30 and a half plus years. If Jesus had the Holy Ghost from the womb, why is it saying that the Holy Ghost is coming upon him right here? You know, you never read about the Holy Ghost coming upon John the Baptist because he always had it. So why are they trying to tell you that being conceived of the Holy Ghost is the same thing as having the Holy Ghost from the womb if we're clearly seeing that Jesus did not get the Holy Ghost until he was about 30 years old? That's not having the Holy Ghost from the womb. That's getting the Holy Ghost when you're 30. You're 30 years out the womb, and now you're getting the Holy Ghost. This is when Jesus got it. So, no, conceived of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Ghost coming upon you are two different things. Don't let them try to trick you and make them think they're the same thing. Was Jesus being conceived of the Holy Ghost right here then, too, when the Holy Ghost came upon him? Are we being conceived of the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost come upon us? Do y'all see what you're reading about here? So, sisters and brothers, Jesus and John the Baptist were not conceived the same way. The one with Hebrews who teach this are deceiving you. They're lying to you. They're trying to force John the Baptist's narrative on Jesus to strip Jesus of any and all divinity that makes him special. So the next time one of them try to tell you that what happened with Jesus is the same thing that happened with John the Baptist, then walk them through some of these scriptures, both the things that highlight their similarities and their differences. And maybe, just maybe, and this is a strong maybe, they will at least see, if nothing else, that Jesus and John the Baptist were not conceived the same way. We'll be back after these brief announcements. Okay, y'all, first of all, shout out to all of y'all who are still in the room. And again, I apologize for that whole thing with the YouTube live stream. I really should have probably tested that out. I thought it was going to be pretty straightforward. So forgive me for that. But by next week, I will have it definitely figured out, or I won't even try it at all because I don't want to waste y'all time like that again. But we thank all of y'all for coming out today. We have live Sabbath classes every week, every Sabbath, every Saturday. We go open the clubhouse room at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's what time we usually open it. I open it like 15 minutes later because of what I was trying to do with YouTube and stuff. But we open it at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we go on Blog Talk Radio at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I generally try to play some inspirational music for about 30 minutes, and the actual class starts around 30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next week, for y'all that want to tune in on YouTube, that's what time I'm going to start streaming, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right now, the online store is still down. It's about to get put back up. So once it's back up, I'll let y'all know. So if you're interested in ordering a past class, you'll be able to go on that link. But also, if anybody's interested in making a donation to this ministry, if you feel blessed by what you're hearing and would just like to show some support, you can do so one of two ways. The first way, of course, is through PayPal using our email address. I mean, you can also email us at this address, which is absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. Again, that's Absolute Bible Truth, the number 4, EVA@yahoo.com. All this information is under my thumbnail, by the way. I think, you know, they do some of the changes on Clubhouse, but I'm assuming that's where you can still find all my information at, right? So that's Absolute Bible Truth, the number 4, EVA@yahoo.com. And, of course, the other way you can donate is through Cash App using the Cash App tag, which is money sign, capital ABTM, lowercase s. Again, that's money sign, capital ABTM, lowercase s. And in case y'all are wondering, that stands for Absolute Bible Truth. And I'm going to do something a little differently before I bring Ariel on. Let me give a shout-out to my donors because a lot of y'all don't be here after I give the shout-out, and I'll be wanting y'all to hear that. So first of all, a special shout-out for Marie Davis, always here, always donating. I appreciate that generous donation, Miss Marie Davis. And then we got Moshe the Hebrew. Shout out to Moshe the Hebrew. Not to be confused with Big Moshe or Mid Mo. That's Moshe the Hebrew. Appreciate that generous donation, brother. And then we got Ronald, a.k.a. Ronnie from Memphis. Appreciate that generous donation, brother. Appreciate that. Then another shout out to my guy, Jared Cole. Jared Cole. Because some people donate before class even starts, right? Appreciate that generous donation. Big shout out to you. And then we got Charles Goodlow, low good, no good. Charles Goodlow, appreciate that generous donation. Brother, appreciate that generous donation. And last but not least, we got a new donor and a new member. Y'all probably recognize him from YouTube. He's like a big-time YouTuber. But he's been listening to Absolute Bible Truth since he was 16 years old on Debate Talk for You. So he's been listening in for a while, and he reached out to me earlier this week, and he gave a donation, a real generous donation. That's Jadon Adams. He was in here earlier, but he probably left after I had that whole little thing going on with YouTube. But if he's here, I'd like him to come on the stage and give a shout-out. But that's Jadon Adams. Appreciate that generous donation, Jadon Adams. And now we're going to go to Ariel, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity. He's going to give Skip that because he ain't on the stage. I guess I took too long. We're going to go straight to the Q&A then. We're going to start first with Big Bro Zadok. Now, remember, if you got a question or a comment, you can raise your hand. This is now Q&A. So if you got a question or a comment, come on up here. But we're going to start first with Big Bro Zadok. Cream Corn, are you running things?
You know who it is, dog. I'm running things.